Thank you very much, Angela. Switch myself back on. Thank you very much again, Angela. Some great words from the prophet Isaiah there, written, 3,000 years ago. And I guess sometimes we find it difficult reading the Bible, don't we? Sometimes it can seem a little bit remote, can seem far off in time from us and geography from us. And certainly, I guess, even more so for our families, for our work colleagues who have no necessary sense of God. They think that we're perhaps a little odd, a little strange to be putting our faith in this God who seems so ancient and distant and giving him worship with our lives, with our time, and with our money. But I hope that we've seen a little bit today that actually our God is not remote, and these things that he teaches in the Bible are as relevant today and as relevant to people's lives around the world as they have ever been. You see, the thing is that we know something about God which other people just do not recognize. Maybe they've not had the chance to think about it. Maybe it has just not clicked. Maybe the penny has just not dropped. In this passage from the book of Isaiah, the penny has definitely dropped with Isaiah. He absolutely gets who God is. And what Isaiah says about God is very similar to what we might say in response to an encounter with Jesus. Shout for joy, O heavens! Rejoice, O earth! Burst into song, O mountains! For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. Isaiah understood that above all else, God is for relationship. God is for love. He is for harmony. He is for justice. And we discover a being who deserves our worship, rather than faced with a God who we believe demands our worship. The two couldn't be any more different. And if God is central to our lives, then it follows that how we relate to God determines how we relate to other people in the world around us. We can live with God. We can live our lives with God. We can live our lives without God. We can live lives with compassion. We can live lives without compassion. For many people, the idea of God is an abstract concept. It's a hypothetical thing. Getting head round who God is, well, in the days of Isaiah, was a difficult thing. For a lot of people in our generation, it's a difficult thing to know. But there's a difference between Isaiah's day and our day, because we know for certain what God is like. And we have the picture painted here for us in the Bible. And the picture most clearly painted looks like Jesus. And as Christians, we should be able to recognize God in the world around us, in the ordinary things of life. I think we should be able to see God in the TV that we watch, even. I'm going to introduce you today to two television programs which you may be aware of. The first one is The Apprentice. Yeah, I think we've got pictures on the... Thank you. And the second one I'd like to draw your attention to is The Great British Bake Off. So here we are this morning, we're looking at The Apprentice versus The Great British Bake Off. On the surface, there isn't much of a difference. They are both popular TV shows. They are both competitions in which there is a prize to be won. The Apprentice has now been going for 15 series, and in it, contestants dress to impress. They're there in their smart business suits, and the competition is like a war. The rules are simple. The team that makes the most money wins. It's all about the money. It's all about doing whatever it takes to bring in the cash. There is no place for nicety. There is no room for mistakes. Not a whiff of generosity. Because if a contestant shows anything less than ruthless determination or admits to any imperfections, that's it. You're fired. But for some people, obviously, the chance to compete in such a fierce dog-eat-dog environment and eventually become the apprentice or the business partner that Sir Alan is looking for is a dream come true. But does it have to really be that way? Because that's not the picture of the world that I have, where God is in charge. Perhaps there is a different way to live. And over the last 10 series, the Great British Bake Off has become as much of a national institution as the Queen, self-deprecation, and talking about the weather. And a decade on from its conception, this show retains its popular position, I think, as the most watched TV programme in Britain. 9.4 million people watched the first episode this year, and even more watched Tuesday night's final. And the Bake Off's sustained appeal is maybe no surprise. When so much of our news and our programming is a combination of confusing, depressing, and downright vitriolic, the opportunity to spend an hour soaking in the sun in the home counties and the warm innocence of the Bake Off, well, it's a welcome escape, isn't it? And the source of this sentiment becomes clear to anybody who has watched the show. Although it's billed as a baking competition, there is something very unusual about the way the bakers compete. Because what takes place in the tent is more of a working alongside than a working against. When bakers have a spare minute, they help the other contestants out. When they're unsure of how to proceed, they ask one another. When they struggle or when they're sent home, the overwhelming reaction of others isn't relief or smugness, but compassion. Knowingly or not, and I suggest possibly not, as Steph prays to the baking fairies, that they will come and sit on her shoulders as she's putting something in the oven, but the contestants are expressing something of their created nature. Right back at the beginning of Genesis, God says, "Let us make humankind in our image." The three-in-one God makes us for relationship, to express our creativity in partnership with others. There is something significant not just in what we do, but in how we do it. And maybe do we see something of God when we see the three Bake Off finalists walking hand in hand into the tent for a final burst of delicious creativity? Perhaps we feel that warm innocence when Bake Off hits our screens because it puts us in touch with something of the reality for which we were created. When we were innocent and unashamed, A reality which is so often lost beneath the division and the self-justifying finger-pointing we encounter in the world of The Apprentice. I think Bake Off is a window into the reality that God inhabits. A reminder not only what we were made for, but how we might live this out now. There is a real value, I believe, in demonstrating a different culture. And we, as the church, need to be at the vanguard of it. We need to be at the cutting edge of it. We want to be a people that refuses division or for division to separate us. We need to be a people prioritizing collaboration, choosing community, because that is what the God, what our God has called his church to be. In competitive workplaces and in a divided society, Bake Off reminds us that God's image in humanity, the image that gives infinite value even to our competitors, enables us to live and tell a better story. But when in our world, the tide of our culture is flowing in the opposite direction, we must have the awareness, we must have the boldness to tell it as it is and to live it out. God, as we have learnt today, is a God of compassion. Even amongst the Israelites, the arrogance and the anger and the complaining of the people in the wilderness, God's response was never, "I've had it up to here with you lot, you're all fired." No, even in that situation, the response of our God was to bake. I don't think that Bake Off has ever had manna as a technical challenge, but the nature of God is to have a care and a compassion that must be reflected in his people. I'm not saying that we all have to take up baking, although I'm always up for a scone. But can we see the principles at work in the different shows that we watch on our telly boxes? Can we see where love and grace and compassion are present and point our friends towards those kinds of things and make the connections with them, saying this is what our God is like? Can we put our children, our grandchildren, point them in these kinds of directions? Paul asks a very similar thing to the church at Philippi. Philippi is a Roman centre where, quite frankly, there has been plenty of culture of self-centeredness, lots of abuse, lots of unsavoury things going on there. But he says to the church this. He says, "Finally, my brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." We must be sure that there is a real connection between what we hear from the Bible on a Sunday and how we are treating our employees, our employers, our colleagues, how we're treating them on a Wednesday. May we be the people who see as much, if not more, reward in a glass cake stand and a bunch of flowers and a bunch of newfound friends than there is in a £250,000 career with Sir Alan. Let's pray. Lord, help me to recognize what energizes and drives my heart in my life Monday to Friday? Show me, Lord Jesus, where I need to enthrone your character and your will so that my life may reflect your life. So that my dream of heaven, a dream of what it means to succeed and win, is aligned with yours. So that I may truly call you Lord with integrity and with truth. Amen. For our Lord Jesus Christ, winning looked a lot like